טוב, פרשת ויקרא, טוב שיניים חד בניין כבוד. That's the name of the shir. The first pasuk in the book of Vayikra is Vayikra Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Mo'ed Le'mor. Right now, this is seen by all the Mefarshim, starting with Rashi, is problematic. Because after all, Vayikra El Moshe, that's an introductory statement, right? Vayedaber Hashem Elav is another introductory statement. What's the difference between Vayikra El Moshe and Vayedaber Hashem Elav? So this problem is dealt with by the Mefarshim, led by Rashi. Now Rashi says, "Lekol dibrot ulekol amirot ulekol tzivuyim." Right? Dibrot, amirot, and tzivuyim. Dibrot are wherever it says Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe, and amirot is Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Ve tzivuyim are Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, or Tzavet Moshe. Those are the verbs that I used. Kadma kriya. First, God calls Moshe and then tells him something. Kadma kriya. And that, he says, is Lashon Chiba. Now, I don't know what Rashi thought. I mean, this is in Chazal also. I don't know what Rashi thought he meant when he said Chiba. I think what it meant is like interaction. Chiba is interaction for no particular purpose other than the fact that there's interaction. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow is saying something about, according to Rashi, about his relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is that the name of that relationship is Chiba. Chiba. Lishon shemalachei hasharet mishtamshim bo. It's the language that the angels use. Proof, shenemar, v'kara zel zeh. You know the Yishayahu, v'kara zel zeh v'amar, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now what is it about angels? What? How would we describe a conversation between God and the angels? Right, since the angels don't have a Yetzer Hara, I mean, I'm telling you things that Chazal say, not things that I know anything about. Angels do not have a Yetzer Hara. Since they don't have a Yetzer Hara, they can't misconstrue a directive that came from God. We do have Yetzer Hara. We have a Yetzer Hara. We have this inclination to mess things up. So we can change what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said and make it into something else, which is why Adam and Chava, having discovered their Yetzer Hara, were able to decide that they didn't really understand what God said when he said, don't eat from the Eitz Hadat, from the tree of knowledge. And they said, well, maybe God didn't really mean that. Or what we thought we heard, maybe we didn't really hear. And that's called Yetzer Hara. So I go back to the words of Rashi. Lashon shemalachei hasharet mishtamshim bo. This word, Vayikra, is a word in Hebrew which describes the conversation between God and the angels. What is the conversation between God and the angels like? The angels will never make a mistake. And so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Vayikra El Moshe, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu is the perfect recipient of the divine command. Perfect. Because at this time he has no Yetzer Hara. He's so much part of the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's just like an angel, right? Aval. So that's Vayikra. So how many reasons are there for Vayikra? What is Lishon Chiba? And the other is Malachei Hasharet. Right? Those are the two reasons for Vayikra. And then Rashi goes on to deal with one of the great questions, the great questions. And that great question is, how come God also speaks to people who are not of great significance, like, of course, Bilam? But it's not only Bilam that God spoke to. God speaks to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, right? Speaks to the king of Egypt, right? God speaks to people who are insignificant and not Jewish. Not, you know, not the benefits, that don't have the benefit of Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. So how could that be? Aval, Rashi says, the Nevi'ei Umot HaOlam Nigla Aleihem B'Lashon Arai V'Tum'ah. There's such a thing, Lashon Arai, something very temporary, not serious, not permanent. Tum'ah, Lashon Tum'ah. Tum'ah means something that you don't like, that you would like to reject, that you'd like to get rid of, something unclean. Right, Shenemar. And of course, the pasuk that's quoted is the pasuk about Bilam, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. If you look down further down on the sheet, you see Vayikar Elokim, the second source. Mm-hmm. Vayikar Elokim. What's Vayikar mean? God spoke to Bilam, but the aleph is missing. It's like a kind of a short form of the word. And the reason that it's a short form of the word is to distinguish it from Vayikra. So Vayikra is entirely positive. Vayikar has negative aspects to it, even though it's God speaking to Bilam. So this is what Rashi's answer to the question. The question was, God speaks to Moshe, but God also speaks to Bilam. Question. Answer? No, it's not the same. The way God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu is A, plus. And the way that God speaks to Bilam is C or D. Right? Something like that. Can we take it further? I don't think so. I don't think so. If you look at the Rashi, Vayikar, he says again, Lashon Arai, something temporary. Lashon Genai, insulting. Lashon Tuma, Tumat Keri, unclean. Klomar Bikoshi Ubebizayon. When God speaks to Bilam, it is described by the words Koshi and Bizayon. Koshi means difficulty, and Bizayon means embarrassment or an insult. V'lo ayan nigla alav biyom. Rashi then continues and says, God did not speak to Bilam during the day, but in order to show him how much he, like Batovu Ohalecha Yaakov, right? That's what. So he had to see the Ohalim. Obviously, a communication with God during the day indicates closeness rather than a communication with God at night, right? That's what the pasuk says. Let's go back to the first Rashi. The first Rashi says, "Vayikra el Moshe." The second part. You see, the second. It's the third line. "Vayikra el Moshe, hakol holech umagia lazna." It the pasuk translated and he called out to Moshe. Why do I need the content? Why isn't it enough to say, Vayidaber Hashem Elav? If God spoke to him, of course he heard. Why does the Pasuk have to tell us that? Hakol holechu magia la'aznav. The voice goes along, as voice does, sound does, and reaches his ears. V'kol Yisrael lo shomim. In other words, the conversation that takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu is exclusive. only HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKol Holechu Magia Lazna V'Kol Yisrael Lo Shom'in Yachol. Listen to this. Af LaHafsakot Aita Kriya. Now Hafsakot are spaces. Spaces, you know, that the Torah written, the kind of the Sefer Torah that we read from in Shul, has a system of paragraphs. Like you assume that a paragraph starts something new, right? But the paragraph is often not something new, but a continuation of what happened previously. Like the Torah might say, by the Hashem of Moshe Lemar, paragraph, and then another paragraph without a new introduction. So what do you need the paragraphing for? I mean, I know today when you write, so paragraphs are helpful in certain things, but in the Torah, the question was, why is there a paragraph? If it's the same conversation that Moshe had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you need a new paragraph? So the Rashi says, V'chol Yisrael lo shom'in. You see the third line in that Rashi? Yachol af lahafsakot hayta kriya. Could it be that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and that the hafsakot are included? Like the spaces are included, you know, the place where no one said anything. God didn't say anything to Moshe Rabbeinu, just let them speak. A space. So he says, Talmud Lomar Vayedaber, Ledibur Aita Kriya, Velole Hafsakot. That the voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard was the voice that said the words of the Torah, but not the Hafsakot. Not the Hafsakot. Whatever that, I mean, how Rashi imagines it, I don't know, but listen to this. Uma ayu Hafsakot mishamshot. So if it wasn't something that God said, why do you need Hafsakot? Why should there be spaces, paragraph spaces in the Torah? Everybody who ever got an Aliyah knows that there are paragraph spaces, that there are paragraphs in the Torah. Right, that they have a name. The paragraphs have a name, Ptuchot and Stumot. Right, a paragraph Patuach. A paragraph that's Patuach is the line comes to an end, and the next line begins. The next line, and Satum means there's a space. The line comes to an end, and there's a space of 10 letters, and then it continues. Right, the two letters. A little space and a big space. Now we would think, because that's how we're trained, that the spaces are there in order to separate the previous material from the following material. But according to Rashi, that's not the case. Because if it was really new material, it would say once again, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, there'd be a new introduction. But there is no new introduction in most of these cases. In most of the cases. And therefore, Rashi says, listen to this. Mahayu hafsakot mishamshot. So why did they put these spaces in the Torah? If it's not a new statement, why put it in the Torah? Litein revach limoshe litbonein ben parasha Liparasha ubein inyan leinyan. This is like the most wonderful Rashi statement imaginable. You imagine Moshe Rabbeinu, when he received the Torah, also received timeouts, in order to think about what he just received. Do you imagine that? No. Can't imagine it. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed the Torah down to the people, he passed it down with that idea that you have to think about it. You have to think about it. I always call that, that's the Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Shebichtav. It's not the Torah Shebal Peh, which we call Torah Shvalpa, which is all the Gemara, all the questions. What if this and what if that and what if it happened in a different way? That's what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. But there is also reflection upon Torah Shebichtav, which was started by Moshe Rabbeinu. And since he did it, he taught the people that reflection is necessary. How did he teach it to them? By including these hafsakot, these spaces in between the beginning of a statement and the continuation of a statement. It's wonderful. Litein revach leMoshe, the fourth line, litbonein beparasha leparasha. Ubein inyan leinyan. And in case you're not sure what Rashi really means, the next words in Rashi, kal vachomer lahedyot. Halo made min ha hedyot. What's a hedyot? A hedyot is not an expert, but in this case, who's a hedyot? Everybody. Who's not a hedyot? Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, if Moshe Rabbeinu received these timeouts to think about what he had received, certainly everybody else has to use that space in order to think about what he has just learned. So Rashi says, Kal v'chomer, certainly true for a hedyot, hedyot meaning me, halomeg bin hedyot, who had a teacher, who himself was a hedyot. So if Moshe Rabbeinu learned from God, which you think would achieve some sort of perfection, Rashi says, okay, perfection, that's maybe correct. But besides perfection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu time to think about what he has learned. And that was passed on by Moshe Rabbeinu to us. So it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu invented the spaces, the graphic spaces. You know, Petucha and Stuma. Okay. Then we have Elav. Lema'et et Aharon, right? Just Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayedaber Hashem Elav. You see the word Elav in the Pasuk? Right? Okay. Me Ohel Mo'ed. You see, Me Ohel Mo'ed, God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Me Ohel Mo'ed. That's a new problem. How was it physically? Where was Moshe Rabbeinu, and where was Ohel Moed, and where was the sound? Well, we know already that the sound came to Moshe Rabbeinu, the sound of God's voice, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not hear, B'nai Yisrael did not hear the conversation between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you look at the Rashi beginning me Ohel Moed, which is the ninth line, I think, B'lameid Shehaya Kol Nifsak, V'lo haya yotze chutz la'ohel. That somehow the sound of the voice came to an end. It was as though there was a wall, and the voice stopped. V'lo haya yotze chutz la'ohel, and did not leave the ohel mo'ed, that tent in the middle of the Mishkan. Yachol. Maybe it just means that the voice was, that it was a quiet voice from God. That's why you didn't hear it outside in the camp. Talmud Lomar, et ha-kol. I missed out here. No. Hey, look at the CB OMOA, two lines before by the very love. Two lines before in the middle. It's the third, fourth, five, six, seventh line. The seventh line. So I'm sorry, the end of that line. Yechol Shamu et Kol Hakriya, Talmud Lomar, Kol Lo, Kol Elav. Moshe Shama v'Kol Yisrael Lo Shamu. That's the Rashi repeating himself, Melameid, Be'ol Mo'ed, Melameid, Shaya HaKol Nifsak, Maybe the voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard was very low. Talmud lomar et hakol. Mahu hakol. Why do we have a definitive article? Right, Rashi was very much into that. Like what we usually a definitive article means this one and not that one. It's like a way of pointing. It's a what do you call that? A definitive article. Definite article. Right, thank you. I'm losing it. A definite article means this one and not that one. Right, so what does ha-kol emphasize? There's only one kol. So you don't have to say ha-kol. Right, it's like saying ha-Yerushalayim. You don't say ha-Yerushalayim because there's only one Yerushalayim. I think. In any event, it says hakol, mau hakol, hu hakol hamifurash b'tehilim, kol Hashem b'koha, kol Hashem b'hadar. So kol, the kol was powerful. Kol Hashem b'koha. It's that kol. That's what Chazal says. So that's not a good answer. Kol Hashem shoveh arazim. It's so powerful that it blasts apart cedar trees. Im kain lama ne'emar me ohel mo'ed. Why does it say that it came from mo'ed? I mean, it sounds like, first Rashi says it sounds like that the voice was in the ohel mo'ed. And then no one else could hear it because it was very low. But then Rashi says, no, but we have evidence that it was very powerful. So why does it say me ohel mo'ed? Milamecha ya kol nifsak. You learn from this that the voice somehow came to an end in Oel Moed. In any event, this voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard, this voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard could have either been like a regular voice. I mean, I know it came from. It came from God, but as a voice, it could have been regular. But according to Rashi, it had a miraculous aspect to it. And the miraculous aspect was that even though it was very powerful and should have been heard every place, it was only heard in the Ohel Moed. So there's like anytime there's a contradiction in the physical aspect of things, so that contradiction is a miracle. Right, that's what a miracle is. It goes against teva. It goes against what you think should be. Right, so that's what happens here. And so Rashi goes on and says, "Malamecha yakol nifsak kayotzebo." Similarly, he quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, "Kol kanfei hakruvim nishma ad hachatzer hachitzona," until the outside of the chatzer of the in the Mishkan there was a chatzer outside of the Ohel Moed. That's how far the sound of it went. Yachol shakol namuch. Maybe it was really silent or quiet. Talmud lomar kekol el shedai bedabro. That's the way God speaks loud. Im kein lama ne'emar hachatzer hachitzona. So why does the pasuk say it was only until the chatzer, the outside chatzer, shekevan shemagir sham, haya nifsak. So Rashi wants us to understand that when it says me oel moed, by the way, Hashem elav me oel moed, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was not there. He was being called, vayikra el Moshe, come. Nevertheless, there was something miraculous because only Moshe Rabbeinu could hear it since he was outside and the voice was inside and the voice was cut off and nobody else could hear it. So that itself was miraculous. That itself was miraculous. Okay, Rashi teaches us. That's what Rashi teaches us. He's taught us a few things, right, about this event which is Moshe Rabbeinu going to meet up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get the Torah. There's no doubt that this event is exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai to get the Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, if you look at the end of the Parashah of Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, and all the people stayed back. Moshe Rabbeinu entered into the cloud, which represented the presence of God, and all the people stayed back. In fact, the people were forbidden from crossing some imaginary line, which would bring them closer to Har Sinai, while Moshe Rabbeinu was up there getting the Torah. And in fact, the Torah says, if you cross that imaginary line, Sakol Yisakelo Yaro Yiyare, death penalty. The death penalty if anybody crosses the line. Now there's an interesting pasuk, I think it's very interesting. Pasuk Shmot Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Chet Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like an enigma, but we have discovered the enigma, and it's not in the Rishonim. It says V'shamu L'kolecha, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, they will listen to you. Uvata Atah V'ziknei Yisrael Melech Mitzrayim, Atah V'ziknei Yisrael, a whole group, to the king of Egypt, and you'll say to him, Hashem Elokei Avrim Nikra Aleinu, God has called out to us, Nikra Aleinu is a short form. It's not Vayikar, but it's a kind of a short form, as Nikra Aleinu, that B'nai Yisrael, there is even for B'nai Yisrael a kind of way of referencing God's words that are not Vayikra El Moshe. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Nikra Aleinu, see the Rashi? Lashon Mikre. What's Mikre? In medieval philosophy, Mikre is an accident. Right? Something happens. It was unplanned. Lashon Mikre. V'chein V'yikar Elokim. You remember that pasuk? Because if you don't, it's number two, right? V'yikar Elokim. And what did Rashi prove from V'yikar Elokim? That this is a kind of a second-rate relationship between God and Bilam, right? It was like a lower level kind of relationship. Here, in this Pasuk, Perigilu Pasuk, who's talking? Who's talking? Hashem is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him what he should tell Paro. And what should he tell Paro? She'elohei le'briyim nikra aleinu. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, nikra aleinu l'shon mikre. Right, it's like a lower level of communication. I didn't understand. I didn't understand why Rashi had to point that out. Why did Rashi say that this is a lower level of communication? So I don't know the answer, but I thought to myself, maybe it's like talking to Paro in the language that Paro understood. And the language that Paro understood was lower level kind of communication with the different gods that they served. There was no ultimate communication. That idea didn't exist. So if you want to talk to Paro, you have to talk to him in the language that he might understand, which is to say, El Evriyim Nikra Aleinu. That's what I thought. But I can't claim that I prove it. I just bring the pasuk here because it's problematic to me. Right? Not because it helps, but because it's a problem. Okay? Another pasuk. Shmot perek kavhei pasuk kavbet v'no'adeti lecha sham v'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaporet. Kaporet, there's the Aron Ha'idut, or the Aron Kodesh, remember? the Aron Kodesh is an ark. Ark?
Mm-hmm.
And the ark didn't have doors. It just had a removable top. And they put things into it by removing the top and putting things into it. The Aron had the Luchot in it and a few other things. You know, man, tzinzenet of man, the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, a few other things. The cover of the Aron is called Kaporet. That's what it's called. And it had a filigree work around it. Right? Something that, you know, artists could make. You know, it took the gold foil or whatever it was and made some kind of design in it. And that was a zer zahav misaviv, a crown. So the Aron had on the Aron kaporet. On the kaporet, a crown. Zer zahav misaviv. And on the kaporet itself,
kruvim.
Kruvim. Right now, what exactly the kruvim were is a separate issue. But Chazal said, first of all, there were two of them. There were two of them, and they also were miraculous in a way. Like when the Kohen Gadol, Bayit Rishon, the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodashim, he found the Aron Kodesh. And then he looked at the Kruvim, and they were either facing each other or facing away from each other, the Gemara says. If they were facing each other in a kind of appreciative way, so the Kohen Gadol knew that our situation was good. If they turned away from each other, the Kohen Gadol knew that the situation was not so good. The pasuk that we're talking about says, "V'no'adati lecha sham, I will meet up with you there, you Moshe Rabbeinu, v'dibarti itcha me'ala kaporet." The voice that you will hear, Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll know where it comes from. Where does it come from? Above the kaporet, like you could tell the difference. It's not a voice is coming from the right or the left or straight ahead of you. It's coming me ala kaporet mi bein shnei hakruvim. Right, between the two kiruvim, which in English is, based on the Greek idea of cherubs. I don't know anything about cherubs.
But that's the Hebrew letters.
What?
That's the Hebrew letters. Cherubs.
Yeah, it's the Hebrew word. But in the Greeks thought that cherubs were like little boys, little babies. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like probably a Befeirisher Wikipedia. Shnei kruvim asher laron haidut et kol asher atzaveh otcha el b'nei Yisrael. So that's where Moshe Rabbeinu learned the Torah. What did Moshe Rabbeinu learn in Har Sinai? I mean, we're talking about the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned when he went to the Aron HaKodesh, Tzun Shavuos. You have to know about these things. What did Moshe Rabbeinu learn on Har Sinai? What did he learn on Har Sinai? What? No, that was I'm talking about the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. What crash course did Moshe Rabbeinu take? The what? Well, I can't say that no one says that. But it's before Torah Sh'bal Peh, you had to learn something. You had to learn something before Torah Sh'bal Peh. So if the Aseret HaDibrot, Rashi says that Rav Sadia Gaon said that one of the Aseret HaDibrot, they're kind of the outline for all of the mitzvot. So if you learn the Aseret HaDibrot, that you're really clever, like Moshe Rabbeinu was clever, you learn all the mitzvot. According to Rashi, on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, he came down. That's the Aseret, the day of the Aseret HaDibrot. But if you take that idea, and you go to the 40 days and 40 nights, and you divide the Torah into two. Histories, Christomathy, right? You use that word, and then there are mitzvot, right? Those are the two sections of the Torah. It makes sense, although nothing is impossible here, but it makes sense to say that what Moshe Rabbeinu learned on Har Sinai, the 40 days and 40 nights, were the 613 mitzvot. He learned the mitzvot. Now he had already learned the parasha of Mishpatim. Right, that was the parasha that introduces the acceptance of Bnei Yisrael of the Torah. Which to me personally makes sense, that what happened at Har Sinai was that Bnei Yisrael learned that there could be such a thing. Such a thing meaning the Torah. There could be a Torah. What is remarkable about the Torah? That it's something God gave to man. That's hard to believe. Hard to understand. But if all of Bnei Yisrael were prophesying with Moshe Rabbeinu, so they knew for a fact that God gave them the Aseret HaDibrot. I mean, it wasn't something, it wasn't a question of it being rational or not. It was a fact that everybody could attest to, because everybody was there. Then the 40 days and the 40 nights, it seems to me that Moshe Rabbeinu must have learned all of the mitzvot of the Torah. It doesn't particular sense for me to think that Moshe Rabbeinu learned the story of Korach on Har Sinai, the 40 days and the 40 nights. So what happened during the 38 years? What happened in the 38 years? God told Moshe Rabbeinu the nusach of the Torah. These are the words that you should write down. In other words, on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu learned all the mitzvot. I mean, in a matter of, I don't know how. But if you'd ask him a question, you'd say, yeah, he's supposed to eat a matzah on Pesach? Yeah, eat a matzah on Pesach. But that doesn't mean that he had the parasha written down. That's what I think happened during the 38 years of the desert. So that this pasuk says, "No adati licha sham v'dibarte itcha, dibarte itcha what? Et kol asher atzaveh otcha el b'nei Yisrael mitzvot. I will speak to you the language of mitzvot, the way it has to be written down." So that you know that you could learn things in a manner that doesn't include a written text or just includes hints at whatever you've learned, and you could learn a written text. So during the 38 years of the desert, when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jews the Torah, he was teaching them the text of the Torah. What the Torah looks like, what the Torah should read like. So Rashi says, כשאקבע מועד לך לדבר עמך, אותו מקום אקבע למועד, שבוא שם לדבר אליך. He says, we will set a time, we'll make a date, and on that date I will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will come and speak to you what the next part of the Torah, ודיברתי איתך מעל הכפורת. So now Rashi has this famous discussion, במקום אחר הוא אומר, this pasuk says mi'al kaporet, and that pasuk says mi'al mo'ed. So whatever Rashi said, we haven't got time to go there. You should look at yourself. Rashi says there's some kind of an answer, but I think that the thing is, whenever the Torah says something like that, the voice, there were two different places. The voice came from here, the voice came from there. It's obvious. It says Har Sinai. The pasuk says Ro'im et Hakolot. This is Ro'im et Hakolot. They saw the voices. Now everybody knows that's not even a contradiction. Contradiction to say this is D and this is J and this is E, but the same phrase. In the same phrase, you can't say that. I don't think you could say that. So what does Ro in et hakolot mean? What does Ro in mean? How could you say about the voices they heard lightning and thunder, saw lightning and heard thunder, and it was like really like a real exciting time? And the Torah describes it as ro'im et ha-kolot. Well, what if you wanted to say that the kolot were not like any other kolot that you've ever heard? And what if you'd say you saw things that you had never seen anywhere else, but you didn't have the wherewithal to describe them? They were such a unique experience that ro'im et ha-kolot makes sense. It becomes a reasonable way to describe something that's not describable in the language that you have at your disposal. And in the Torah, nobody would understand it. With Ro'in et ha-kolot, they understand. They understand it was special. It was different. It wasn't like anything else. So the same thing is true about the communication of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Ohel Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu heard something outside and he heard something inside. Outside, maybe he heard an invitation. Inside the Ohel Moed, he heard the language of the Torah itself. That's what I think. But Rashi feels that you could somehow deal with it. That you could deal with that. Okay, if you turn the page, here, Zion. You see seven. Vayal Moshe Hahar, Vayichas Anan et Hahar. This brings us to another problem. Vayal Moshe et Hahar, Vayichas Anan et Hahar. Vayishkon Kivod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayichaseu Hanan Sheshit Yomim Vayikral Moshe B'Yom Hashvi'i Mitoch Hanan. Maybe we'll be able to solve this problem. You know that in the Zohar it says many times, that in thinking about God and relationship to the created world, the Zohar says, Mimale kol olmim v'sovev kol olmim. It's like an aphorism. It's a Zoharic aphorism. What does it mean? God fills the world. The world is full of God, the created world. And God surrounds the world. Now, for us, that's impossible. Because the only way God could surround the world is if it was like a donut with space in the middle, something empty. Otherwise, you can't say God is around the world. But if that donut in the middle part of the donut is also full of God, then all you have is God, every place. So the Kabbalists like love this. You know, this is their like bread and butter. They could just talk about this endlessly. So the pasuk says, Vaya'al Moshe el Hahar, Vayachas Anan et Hahar, the cloud. Now, what is that cloud? What is that cloud? We're talking about a somewhat different topic now. What is that cloud? Is it God? Or is it kind of say, God is right behind me? You know, you come to this problem of Makom. Is it possible for God to be in a place as opposed to being in another place? Now we know that that's supposed to be true because the Beit HaMikdash is a place, the Mishkan is a place. So God could be in a place. So the Kavod Hashem, right? Vayal Moshe Lahar, Vayichas Anan Ed Ahar. So the Anan is God that's in a place, and the place is the Har. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayishkon dwelled Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayichaseu Anan Sheshit Yamim Vayikral Moshe B'Yom HaShvi'i Mitoch HaAnan. So I'm just interested in the Anan. I'm interested in the Anan. Is the Anan Kvod Hashem? Is it the presence of God? And is the presence of God in a place? Right? And we know that one of the things that kept the Jewish people alive in the last 2,000 years of the diaspora, it's already 2,100. A lot of diaspora, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and it would be perfectly reasonable for people to say, God has abandoned us. There is no God in our midst, which is what we had before. So what did we do? We said, every Beit Knesset, this is an idea, every Beit Knesset of the world is a Mikdash Me'at, is a little Beit HaMikdash, which means that every place, every Beit Knesset I build, wherever I build it, has within its confines the presence of God. This was a great idea, only because it caught on, because people believe it. Because people believe it, and that's why people go to the Kotel Maravi, because they're tourists. It's a place that you go to. But if you want to daven mincha, you could do it just as well in shul as going to the Kotel Maravi. So that's what it says. Vayishkon kvod Hashem al har Sinai vechaseu anan sheshit yamim vekral Moshe beyom ha-shviyi mitoch ha-anan. Umar'eh kvod Hashem anan equals Kvod Hashem, and here's Mar'eh Kvod Hashem Geish Ochelet Barosh Ahar Leinei B'nei Yisrael. So Kvod Hashem is someplace. It's someplace. It's not every place. Not every place. Now the last page, look at the last page is a Rambam. Maimonides, the Guide to the Perplexed, 119. What should I do? I'll read it. I'd rather read it in Hebrew. Three, four, five, six lines from the bottom. This is a section about the word male, mem lamed aleph, which means to fill something up. Fill something up. Male. Umizeh inyan. Male kol haaretz kvodo. The entire world is filled with kvodo. Kvodo means the presence of God. Is every place. Kvodo. Inyano kol haaretz ta'id al shlemuto. Every place in the world is a witness to the perfection of God. Klomar toreh alav. That is to say, every place in the world is an indication of God. Right? That's the Rambam's idea. The Rambam's idea that Avat Hashem comes from scientific investigation. Not belief. You can't make a Baal Tshuva through scientific investigation. But a person who is religious and sees how complex things are, which is what science helps us to do. I mean, even though science also elucidates and clarifies, but it also impresses us by the complexity of the world that God created for our benefit, so that, according to the Rambam, causes Avat Hashem, the love of God. You love God because you see how intricate the world of creation is. And he says, as kol ha'aretz ta'id al shleimuto, everything in the world. Klomar toreh alav, v'chein amru. And similarly, in the pasuk that we just learned, Kvod Hashem Malei et HaMishkan. Kvod Hashem Malei et HaMishkan. So what does that mean? That seems to contradict what the Rambam just said. The Rambam just said that God is every place. You remember the Zohar? God is every place. And God is a donut. And God is every place. Yizchein Amru Kvod Hashem Malei et HaMishkan. We call Lashon Mele'ah, that word, Mele'ah, Lashon Mele'ah, Shetimtsa Miyucheset Lashem, Umizayinya. And every time the word Mele' is used in reference to God, this is what it means. Rambam, lo sheyesh lo guf yimalei makom. It doesn't mean that God takes up space, guf, that God has a body, and that that body, if you put it in the room, takes up space. There's a little less space in the room. That's not kavod Hashem. That's not what God is. Ela im tirtze shetasim kavod Hashem. He says, you have to want to place kavod Hashem, the glory of God, ha'or ha'nivra, that the word kavod is light. That's the light of God. And that's what filled up the Mishkan. Now, what is or? What is or? Why is there that metaphor of light so exciting and helpful? Because light fills up the space that you put it in. Like you have a light, you put it in a box, small box, fills up the small box, but doesn't get out of the box. Then you move the same light to a big box, it fills up the big box, but it doesn't, what doesn't it do? It doesn't take up any room. It doesn't take up any room. No? So if it fills everything up but doesn't take up any room, so that's the nature of Kavod Hashem. So the fact that God, the light of God, is in the Beit HaMikdash does not contradict the fact that the light of God is also every place at the same time. It was light can be contained, but it doesn't take away. Doesn't take away from its physicality. The physicality remains. It all remains with you. So these problems, which we saw today in the Rashi, we saw about the communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, which was special, and it's not going to be repeated. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who could bring the Torah in the world, because his relationship to God's Word had no connection to the Yetzer Hara. He was totally accepting of what God said, but even Moshe Rabbeinu had to add understanding to what he was taught, and that addition of Bein HaParshiot that he added to the Torah was what Moshe Rabbeinu passed down to Bnei Yisrael. A second problem that comes as a result of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to the Ohel Moed to hear the voice of God and to receive the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that somehow place makes a difference. Even though we know that God is everywhere, but we also know that God is somewhere. And that somewhere was critical for completing the Torah. For some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu could not receive the Torah on the run, or walking around, or in his own in his own house or tent or wherever it was. Couldn't do that. He had to be in the Ohel Moed, in that place. And the reason is that the Kavod Hashem was in that place. So how do we solve that conundrum between saying that Kavod Hashem is there and Kavod Hashem is everywhere? Because they seem to be contradictory. So the Rambam uses the metaphor of light to say that's what Kavod Hashem is. It's a kind of a light. What is special about the nature of light? That while it fills all of the space, it does not have, it's not really physical. It doesn't take physical length and width and height. And so you could have a place, and God can also be every place. And in some way, these two ideas are not contradictory, and I think that that's what the Rambam meant to say here in the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Have a good Shabbat.